Welcome to Sustainable Voices. I'm your host, Thomas Walsh. I was recently invited to attend a conference on peak oil and food security organised by the Garden of Eden project. During the conference, we had the opportunity to listen to various groups and individuals that were dealing with the issue of peak oil and food security. Over the next couple of shows, we will be hearing from those people. The speaker featured in this episode is Chris Ennis from Ceres. Ceres, which stands for Centre for Education and Research in Environmental Strategies, is a community environment project located beside the Merri Creek in Brunswick, Australia. In his presentation, Chris spoke about how our food system was dominated by big retailers and industrial farming methods that are depleting our natural systems and our communities by treating people as passive consumers and food as just another commodity. You are listening to Chris Ennis.
I'm lucky enough to work at Ceres on the Ceres farm with a whole bunch of amazing teachers and farmers and trainers and people who work in the office, and lots of familiar faces I see here of people who intersect with Ceres in different ways. And if you haven't been to Ceres, you'll learn a little bit about one part of it today, and I encourage you to get down there and experience, you know, what I guess, you know, we may one day start calling Little Havana. Okay, so we live in cities now, you know. Once upon a time, everyone either lived on a farm, or more recently we had an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent like Gamardus's who we got a connection with the land through. And our parents would send us away perhaps in our school holidays to get rid of us to these farms, and without knowing it, we would get a connection to our land and food and a rural community perhaps. Even in the cities, until recently, you know, we would have backyard gardens and we would preserve or make beer and wine on a large scale. Everyone used to preserve. Everyone's mum used to bottle. I remember my mum, as a statement of her, you know, feminist defiance, saying, "I will not bottle anymore." And now we're coming back to, we're buying Fowler's Bacolas, and we want to come back to that. Now even farmers are going to the supermarkets. I have a friend, Martin Potts, who works for Greening Australia. And for 2 years, he's been going to farms and helping farmers save remnant bushland. And every farm he goes to, he says, do you have a garden? Do you have an orchard that you get food from? And in 2 years, he has not found a farmer who grow their own food still. They grow food for other people, but they don't grow their own veggies or fruit. According to the 2001 census, between 1986 and 2001, farming families in Australia decreased from 145,000 to 112,000. That's 33,000 families leaving farming in only 15 years. It's almost a quarter of our farmers. I don't know if you can see that, but we don't have a lot of connections with our farms, and these days, when they look like this, you don't really want to have one. Industrial agriculture can be like war. Our strategy is to kill everything good or bad above and below the soil, overtill the ground, bomb it with pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, cover it in a plastic bandage like that, just so all those things we try to kill don't come up again, and then feed the hybrid or genetically modified plant we want to grow through a drip line with artificial liquid fertilizers. This fella gets to eat almost half the grain that we produce around the world today. Half the world's grain and soy goes into the mouths of feedlot animals to fatten them up so that we can have cheap meat. 90% of that grain is controlled by five global companies. And the upshot of that is that 1 billion people go hungry every year. And this is us in the developed world. We should be the smartest, the healthiest, and the fittest people in human history. But instead, we are the fattest, the stupidest, and the sickest generation. Someone once asked me at a presentation if this picture was real. That's real. Okay. And here's our local supermarket, Woolies. Between Woolies and Coles, they own 75% of the Australian food market. 75% of our food comes from two companies. And they are now doing advertising campaigns like this where they're talking about local farmers and supporting local communities. Well, farmers in Albury, Wodonga, who are growing lettuce, are getting 10 cents a head for a specialty lettuce that Coles or Woolies are turning around selling for a dollar. And that's giving back to local communities. We've also got the situation of... How do you go back? Okay, we've got this crazy export situation. This is Australian organic cereal. You can't buy it in Australia. You can only buy it in England. We tried to find this cereal to stock put on our shelves, but we couldn't. We stock Canadian cereal. The English distributor for our Australian morning puffs offered to export it back to Australia. Okay, there's been a bit of talk. I don't know if you've heard about climate change recently. This is our own, the result of our own Hurricane Katrina in February 2004. Melbourne had its largest rain event in a single day. Almost 6 inches of rain fell, and this was our market garden on the creek before and after, or during. This is, they call that a 100-year flood. We had one the year before as well. Okay, this is not Melbourne, but, you know. We've had the driest winter in 25 years. On Friday, we started irrigating our market garden, and it's September the 1st. First day of spring. In Australia, we've now reached the stage where between a half and two-thirds of our productive land requires treatment for degradation. All right. So, go back. There he is. So what the hell is Sirius doing all about this? We're having another meeting. More meetings, more often. It's just the cultivating community motto. So this meeting was our strategic planning meeting this year, and by far the most talked about topic was food. Food was something that a local community organisation like Ceres saw itself as having the greatest influence on. And the following things that I'm going to show you are the projects that we're now coming to understand at Ceres as the Ceres local food system. And it all starts with a seed. I don't know if you can see that, but that's the Seed Savers table at the Ceres market. And every Saturday this September, you can go down and swap your seeds for free with other people in your community. Locally grown, organic, heirloom, open-pollinated, proven varieties that you can share with your community. Make use of it. These guys, they're local heroes. Aidan and Matt, who have started a business from scratch out of nothing, created their own jobs, and a business growing organic seedlings in a polytunnel that wasn't being used at Ceres. These guys are now supplying the Ceres nursery, the Ceres market gardens, and the other day on the fax, they ran into the office with their first fax order from an outside nursery for one of the 25 varieties of heirloom tomatoes that they're going to grow this year. Look out for them. They're going to be, you know, better get one in before Melbourne Cup Day. Now this is, if they are local heroes, this is a super local hero or a local superhero. This is Joe Garita. You can't see him very well, but if you've been along the creek near Coburg along the bike path and been past the 2.5-acre Mary Creek Market Garden, Joe's been gardening there since he was 15. That was 66 years ago. This year he retired to 1/4 acre of garden, if that's retiring. This garden is now run by Ceres, and as of last week, it employs 2 farmers 3 days a week. Last year, it produced around about $30,000 worth of wholesale produce. This year, we think it'll produce over $60,000. The produce travels 2 km down the creek to the Ceres Market, the Ceres Cafe, and the 3 co-ops that we supply. And with this garden, we really want to break down perceptions that food has to be grown in the country or somewhere far away and put on a truck and brought to you. We want people to start waking up and learn that you can build a strong local urban agricultural economy in a city and stop paying those guys on tractors to mow all that lawn along the Merri Creek and pay them to grow food along the Merri Creek like they used to. This is a compost tea maker. With our farming, we want to stop the war on biology, our earth-based ecology. We want to start bringing back, and we have been bringing back for many years now at Ceres, the biological richness in the ground that's going to help us grow our food rather than try and beat it up, put plastic bandages on it, and feed it artificial fertilisers. And we're using things like compost teas, worm farms, composting, harvesting stormwater off roofs and car parks, using, you know, really smart tools, smart hand tools. I encourage you to come and volunteer in the gardens and experience our range of hoes. We have some of the best hoes in Melbourne. This is Pasu Sharma Luetel, who's here. Perhaps he was here this morning. Pasu is one of our farmers at Harding Street Market Garden. He came from Bhutan, where the Bhutanese government was stupid enough to take his farm away. And we were lucky enough to get Pasu as an asylum seeker seeking a job on a farm. Pasu has a master's in agriculture. Lucky us. And also incredible cultural knowledge. And this is something Ceres takes great pride in using, the cultural knowledge of people with backgrounds other than our own. Pasu, if you've eaten pea shoots from the market recently in bunches, that was Pasu's idea. In Bhutan, it's a delicacy. Here, we've never seen it before. This year, the Ceres Organic Farm and the market alone and all its programs will employ 4 full-time people and 23 part-time workers, with the profits going to support another 20 people indirectly. Our latest enterprise is growing mushrooms. It was very heartening to hear David talk about growing mushrooms in the city, because in October, we should be starting to produce our first mushrooms. This is another piece of knowledge that Pasu brought to us from Bhutan, helping people in remote villages grow shiitake on oak logs. Over the weekend, I think 200 oak logs arrived at Ceres in the back of our biodiesel van, very, very weighed down at the back, like it is dragging its bum around town often. And we're also going to start in our community kitchen a social enterprise with recently arrived migrants to produce food, to preserve surpluses, to produce pastries and foods for the cafe, and make use of this newly arrived migrant workforce. And it's interesting also, as David was talking about goat herds, we had been thinking as well about, you know, surely people coming to our country from Sudan and other agrarian kind of countries, someone's got to know how to herd goats. Someone's got to have a job, going to need a job. The Merri Creek's going to need mowing for a lot more years. So, you know, look out for it. It might happen soon. Okay. We share our message through education. 62,000 school children came to Ceres on day visits last year to learn about farming, culture, environment, energy. 70,000 this year, I hear. 150 schools participate in the sustainable schools. 186. Cara is one of the facilitators for sustainable schools. We're schools that don't come to Ceres can still get the benefit of knowledge about sustainability in all kinds of areas, from food production to energy and water saving. We have a team of young adults with an intellectual disability working on the farm up to 4 days a week. Two work for the Dole teams, one constructing a community kitchen right now where our food project will happen, another learning film skills, documenting the programs at Ceres so that we can share them with other organisations. We welcome interns. We mentor groups. We consult with councils and governments. We have our own St. Paul and Eric Bottomley, who goes to the places like the city of Hume, Campbelltown in Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, even Japan, where he is showing people how to set what structures you'll need to set up places like Ceres. Every weekend, there are one-day courses at Ceres on topics from cheese making to growing vegetables in your backyard. And if you can't come up to the with the bucks for these, and this is what I'd do if I couldn't, I'd volunteer. And you can learn many of the skills that are going to be useful come peak oil, and many skills that are just useful anyway. Okay. This is our Seed to Seed volunteer program. Distribution. Access is really important in all kinds of ways at Ceres. Access to food, we want to make a lot of different levels for people to be able to access food, from no money to a fair bit of money. The market's probably the one that people are most familiar with, and we have, in organic terms, a relatively low market, so we can get as much organic food to as many people. But if you can't afford the market, we support three community co-ops, which is going to turn into five in the next month or so. And if you'd like to start your own co-op, we'd love to hear from you. And you can come down. We're in the process of, among other things, developing a co-op kit so that you can take this kit home and work out with a group of friends what it takes to have your own food co-op and the cheapest organic vegetables you can possibly buy. Now, if you have no money, you can go to the Urban Orchard, which is a table at Ceres where you can bring your excess lemons, figs, silver beet, parsley, and swap them with people, like-minded people. At last count, how many families? 140 families are signed up to the Urban Orchard. And Wednesdays and Saturdays, the Urban Orchard table is at Ceres. You can bring down whatever excess you want and swap it for something else, or just leave what you've got. I've seen three huge cases of grapefruit and oranges disappear in the last month, just like that. It's such a simple idea that disappeared when we stopped talking to our neighbours and when we started moving into these houses in Brunswick that had fruit and veg already planted by smart Italians and Greeks. We started just going, what do we do with this stuff, and throwing it in the bin. Now there's a way that you can really share that with your community. This morning, bless her soul, Liz from Ceres Market, who's up there, got up at 4 o'clock with me so we could go down to Footscray Market and get back here early enough to see David and Richard talk. And this morning, as well as buying for the Ceres Market, we bought produce for the Fitzroy and Collingwood community markets, which are based in the high rise and provide fresh fruit and vegetables for people who are generally food insecure and are surrounded, as Mark described, by a food desert. Every season we get together with the cafe. We talk about what we've got in the gardens and how we can share it with them to make a local in-season menu. They are also fantastic at taking things like 30 kilos of excess chilli and turning it into something. And not wasting, you know. We would have lost the foot, you know, that's a lot of effort and money and you know, pride that you can lose when you have to chuck away 30 kilos of chilli. They saved us. They were brilliant. Community gardens. 50 plots, 100 people on the waiting list. People now getting plots have been waiting for 5 years. The ones signing up now will be getting a plot in 15 years. It really, really shows a demand for a piece of ground where it's more than likely a whole broccoli crop could be stolen through the season. Happens, has happened. As my first job at Ceres, I've been threatened with a knife for suggesting someone should actually garden in their community garden. But somehow that 50 households, people come together over a piece of land twice as big as this table, garden, grow food, learn about land, each other, and somehow get on. Two more, three more. Build an oven, and they will come every Saturday, on the first Saturday of the month. If you bring a bottle of wine or a bottle of homemade beer and something to put in the oven, you can go to the Ceres Baking Group and hang out with the most beautiful bunch of people, learn about and eat the most beautiful food you've ever eaten. My God, the spanakopita will blow your mind. Chook Group, David Holmgren's early chook rotation design, proudly used by families for over 20 years, I think, now. Just a simple idea. 14 families share a flock of chooks together and meet once a month for a working bee. Ceres Harvest Festival, it's our Thanksgiving, really. And if you've never been to Ceres, this is the best day, many people say, to come at Ceres. And a big thank you to Maya, one of the people mainly responsible for bringing that festival together, which is really much, much loved. So I think, yeah. That's a Helena Norberg Hodge, if you can't see her in there. It's a very good photo, she's like, you know? She's on, looks like Winston Churchill. That's a compliment. Proud.
Moving right along.
Moving right along. Okay, Melbourne Food Network, if you want to get involved with food policy, post-peak oil food, and share ideas about food with a bunch of people who are interested in pushing this through their community, that's the email, amardis@gardenofeden.org.au, and don't... .net.au, and there's a sign-up sheet at the back, as is there a sign-up sheet for the email list for the Australian City Farms and Community Gardens National Conference, March next year, and that's all. Thank you very much.
That was Chris Ennis from Ceres. You've been listening to Sustainable Voices, the show that explores the landscape of sustainability and its people. For more information on Ceres, go to www.ceres.org.au. For more information on this show and for an archive of previous shows, go to www.whitepage.com.au/sustainablevoices. Thanks for listening.